We have Ali Skrein from Huntley joining us right now. Welcome to The Hoist, Ali.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here. Fine Tuesday night, a bit cold outside, but I just pedaled my bike here really furiously, so I'm warm.
Yeah, was it a long journey?
No, just up from VCA, so I got like 10 minutes of a podcast in, and then I was in the studio, so here I am. Lovely to be here, back in the Sin Studios.
Yes, we're very excited to have you here. Now, Ellie, you've called your music Doof You Can Cry To. How else would you describe your sound?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. Usually we just get asked about the Doof You Can Cry To, and now I'm like, how else could I? Well, look, it's emotional dance music. So I think that's one thing that keeps it like cohesive, because there's plenty of kind of diversity in the sounds that we create. So I don't know if I can really like put a genre specifier on it, because we draw influence from like techno and drum and bass, as well as just like pop music. And for me, like ballads, like just, you know, emotional ballads and like, yeah. So I think overarchingly what kind of draws us together is like an evocative approach to writing like electronic music that integrates, you know, a wide range of sounds and influences.
That is perfect.
Is that all right?
Like, and that was off the top of your head as well. Like, that, you nailed it there.
Thank you. Well, I had to, just before I came in here, I had to write a bio for a upcoming show that I can't announce yet, but had to write a bio. They were like, can you write a fresh bio? And I was like, sure thing, I'll send it to you in 2 minutes. And I was like, like madly typing out this like new March 2019 bio. So got these, you know, little turns of phrases fresh in my mind.
Yeah. And when creating lyrics for the album, were there any particular preconceived themes or ideas you wanted to communicate through your music?
Being dumped was definitely a reoccurring theme. But I think like reflections on time and memory. Yeah, authentic reflections on different events, whether that was, you know, one song I'm reflecting on this time in my life when I was like 14 years old, versus this song Reckoning, which was the lead single from the album, which is doing really well on Spotify. I just observed our little stats this afternoon. I was like, oh, wow, like 40,000 plays in a week. That's amazing. And that one was about like what I saw coming. So it was kind of, you know, looking at something that I thought was immediately about to happen. Versus Low Grade Buzz, the song itself, which is the album's closing track, which is really like a reflection on this emotion that I find coming up for me very regularly. So that was kind of like this looking across my life and like this thing that bubbles up in me constantly since I was a child up to now as an adult. So I think, yeah, generally like the lyrics tend to explore, you know, reflections on past, present, future. And for me personally, yeah, lyrics are just generally like me telling a story of something that's going on in my heart or head.
Yeah. So do you find that you kind of, when you're writing your songs, are kind of like existential sort of thoughts, or do you think they're more just like, how does sort of the process go?
Well, generally I find that I am writing about something quite specific. So, like our song Giving Circle was about a time when I was sitting with a group of friends and we were meeting up for this group that we're part of, and many of the people in the group had been in relationships, and then we had a meeting and everyone who'd been in a relationship in the group had broken up. So we had this meeting and it was just a nightmare. It was like the graveyard of relationships in one room, and everyone was just so awkward and sad, and I was like all kinds of angry and bitter and, you know, rejected. And so that was just a description of that night, that meeting, that you know, that feeling in that room. Whereas songs like Low Grade Buzz and AUR and the album's opener, SMU, which stands for Set Me Up, they're more kind of broader reflections that can tend towards more existential topics, like just like meaning, or the song AUR is kind of about like power. So, you know, much more broader existential things, whereas some tracks are like, this happened on this night and here's how I'm feeling about it.
That's crazy with the whole giving circle story. You wouldn't have thought that that was like what it meant.
Yes. Well,
do people think it's can be a bit of a, you know, have a little inappropriate meaning, or?
I think, you know, it just sounds like a pop song, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to work through this feeling, this awkwardness and this like bitterness and shame and all these, you know, emotions that were coming up in that room. I wanted to work through them in like this pop song, and just, you know, the chorus of that song, I'm just going, aha, aha, oh, and it's just like this, you know, upbeat kind of dance track. But those who were there at the time definitely know what it is about, because like one of the lines I sing, I pull my shirt over my face just so you don't see me give into it. And those who were there at that meeting watched me that night. I remember when things kind of all got too much, I like pulled the collar of my shirt up. For those listening at home, I'm currently doing that now, and I just put my shirt over my face, and everyone kind of like just like put their head in their hands or was like laughing. It was like a very awkward moment. So that's like quite a literal description of what happened. So those who were there in the room definitely know what the song's about. But everyone else, it's like, what? What's happening? Pull my shirt over my face? Like, is that like a sexy reference or what?
That's what I thought. So that's why I'm asking. But I'm glad I know the real reason.
Yeah, well, now you know it was like a head in my inside my shirt in shame. There you go, the hot scoop.
Yeah.
And across the album, Amanda Whiteside created the collection of artwork that we get to see. How important was the visual artwork to tie in with the music, and are there any hidden meanings?
That's an awesome question, and I'm so glad to be able to plug Amanda's work on the radio, because we've been plugging it through the album. But yeah, we actually saw her work, which is in that style, and we were kind of talking about how we go about creating artwork for this record, and we were all looking at her work just being like, can we just use that, or maybe ask her to create something else? So we had a few meetings with her, and luckily she agreed to create this artwork for us. So we loved the way that, you know, it was very kind of these human images. And I guess in terms of like our aesthetic and how it relates to our music, these images, you know, there's often like we have these recurring themes of like flesh and like warped images. So I think we were all kind of immediately attracted to the work that she does. And then when we had meetings with her, she was very happy to create stuff for the album. We sent her the album, she listened to it, and she created all of these images, which were just beautiful. And then for us, it was about looking across the series and seeing, okay, which one do we want to be the record cover? Which one kind of encapsulates the whole thing, and which one for which single? So each of the singles are more close up images of like parts of the body, and then we were like, okay, for the actual album cover, it makes sense that we have the full kind of body across the frame, whereas each of the individual artworks that had appeared up until then for the singles had just been like bits of the body.
Yeah, and the visuals for the album continue with your music clip Wiggle, which we love, absolutely love. What was making this video like?
It was amazing. We were in a gymnasium. I used to do gymnastics when I was a child and I was like a little, you know, freaky gymnast kid. But then I stopped it when I moved to far north Queensland. So it was like a real return for me. Like there's a foam pit, there's the beam, like the floor, and I'm running around doing like cartwheels and not much else because my body is old and rigid now.
Not the way it used to be.
Yeah. So we spent, it was all done in one night, and Gianna, who directed it, she was just amazing. She had such an eye, and then the styling, I think, was a huge feature. We had no idea it would just pop so much, and that we would be stylistically so, like, I don't know. We'd never like worked with a stylist before. We loved the Wiggle clip. We'd never done something so kind of fashion. Yeah. Until we performed at Fashion Week 2 weeks ago. That was definitely another fashion highlight.
Well, you did also do a live premiere for the music video for the third track on the album, Giving Circle, which we just discussed, in Sydney with Clip TV. That was last Tuesday night. Yeah. How were the responses and reactions to this clip?
Yeah, really good. Our director, Dylan Corbett, who is also my housemate, he was interviewed and he got to talk all about his kind of choices as a director, and yeah, really, really good responses. It was amazing to have our clip kind of premiered on a big screen. And I think the highlight of this clip is the fact that we got together like a choir of people who are our friends or partners and like people in the community, local heroes, to come in and be part of that clip. So that's kind of the real highlight. So yeah, that clip is hopefully out soon. Yeah, and it just features like such an all-star cast, of people from around our lives and Melbourne.
Yeah, just like tonight with our all-star lineup of guests. So
absolutely.
And you talked about before you performed at Fashion Week. What was that like?
That was wild. We were literally backstage with supermodels. There were like all of these incredibly good-looking people just like quietly sitting around us like chatting, and Charlie and I were sitting there getting our hair and makeup done just being like, oh my god, like look around. And then we performed on top of, so there was a long runway and like hundreds of people seated either side, and then at the end of the runway was a huge screen and we were on a platform on top of the screen performing, being filmed, so then we were being projected onto the screen, like at the back of the runway. So there was like a huge version of us and like Huntley across the thing. Wow. And funny story, I just found on our Instagram, I uploaded a picture of that, like a screenshot of the us on the big screen. And it's of me and I was in like a singlet top and I have like underarm hair. And somebody commented being like, just like slamming our performance. They were like, yeah, the music was good, but it was a disgusting performance because of all of your underarm hair.
I just discovered
this comment on our Instagram the other day. I was like, wow, that sucks, mate. Like,
some people really have nothing to do.
I know. I think it was some internalized misogyny coming from that lovely lady, but hopefully one day she'll work through that and learn to not shame women and police the way that they choose to grow their hair.
Well, you are doing way more than that woman probably is right now. What opportunities are you hoping will come from this album? Is there a point of achievement in your careers where you think, yep, we've made
it?
Was that at Fashion Week?
Was that the highlight? Having my underarm hair that big on the screen, that was definitely a career highlight. I'd love to play some shows overseas. That's definitely a, you know, next step. More kind of realistic, immediate goals are to sell out our album launch. So Yeah, we were kind of like, where should we play? We chose the Northcote Social Club because it's a beautiful space, and we were like, can we sell this venue out? And we've all agreed, like, yes, we can do it. So that is our immediate goal, to like sell out our album launch at the Northcote Social Club on May the 4th, Thursday, if anyone is interested in coming along. And fulfilling my dream.
Nice plug.
Huge plug. Playing overseas, playing a big festival, whether it's overseas or playing Golden Plains or Meredith. That would be awesome because we've all gone to those festivals for the last few years and love them dearly and think that Huntley should be on one of their lineups.
Well, if you're listening and you... you know, own Golden
You know who you are. You know who you are. I won't name names. I know who you are. You know who you are. Book us. Meredith 2019.
We should make a hashtag.
Yeah. Huntley for Meredith 2019.
Yeah. Let's make it go viral and then we'll see what happens.
Yes. Listeners, please.
Well, you can catch Huntley on their Low Grade Buzz album tour May 4th, if you're up in Sydney, at the Golden Age Cinema and Bar, and then May 9th here in Melbourne at Northcote Social Club. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight, Ellie.
Pleasure. Thanks
for having me. All the best with your shows as well.
I know, I got the date wrong. I said May the 4th. No, Melbourne listeners, May the 9th.
We're actually going to play your track, Giving Circle, for our listeners right now. Would you like to introduce it for us?
Absolutely. Well, you've hopefully heard the backstory now to that, to this little intimate song. This is Giving Circle by Huntley, featuring the Huntley Choir. Take it away.
Ooh, I'll admit that I was